Thank you for having me. I did go round the roundabout three times before coming into the church, and I was thinking about that, and life is like that, isn't it? Some people are going round and round in circles. They don't know where they're going, what life is about. But thankfully, Jesus, the Savior we've heard about and sung about, the Son of God, has told us about life, and he's told us many stories, many good things to help us to learn about the right way. Is my reading on the screen? Yes, it is. And I'm not in the way blocking it, am I? So you can all see the words. That's helpful, isn't it? You can see the words. And I got 15 minutes, so I'm going to take my watch off to start, and I'm going to try and be disciplined. Hard for preachers to be disciplined, but we'll try. Jesus told a story about prayer. And so my question this morning is, do you pray? You don't have to answer, but do you pray? What do you pray? How do you pray? There was a survey done last year, 2018, and it was done for Tier Fund. And I don't know about surveys sometimes and statistics, but this survey said that over half of all adults in the UK pray. So I think that would be about 20, 25 million people. They do pray. That's what the survey said. So that's quite a big number of people, isn't it? Many people do pray. Some people pray because of bad circumstances, or because they're ill, or because they've got problems in life. People pray for different reasons. Some people think about prayer, well, as long as you pray, it doesn't matter what you say. As long as you're sincere, it doesn't matter what God you pray to. So in the end, some people think, as long as you pray, that's the main thing. But in this story we're looking at this morning, Jesus said that there's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. And it's a very helpful story that he told, and it's very challenging for us. So there's a wrong way to pray. Let's think about that first of all. You can see the words there, verses 11 and 12. Here's a man praying in the temple. He's a Pharisee. Does anybody know how many times a Pharisee would have gone to the synagogue in a week? Three times every day, which is 21 times a week, which puts us to shame, I suppose. We might feel a bit pleased with ourselves. We attend church a few times a week. But the Pharisee, the very religious people, attended the synagogue 21 times a week. And so this man is very religious. And he's praying, but he's praying, Jesus says, in the wrong way. And you can see his prayer. He prays with himself. He speaks to God, but he's not really addressing God. Jesus says he's praying with himself. He's congratulating himself. What he's doing really is he's taking a selfie, isn't he? And he's saying, look at me. Look how good I am. And then he spouts off some of his religious deeds. He prays with himself. He says, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. And he points the finger at others. And he's congratulating himself. He looks at people around him, and he's got one man there he's looking at. We'll come to him in a moment. And I'm certainly not like him, he says. Just heard about that, really, in the children's talk, the children's story, didn't we? Peter had that sort of approach about the Gentiles, Roman soldiers. I'm not going near them. This man was like that. And he's full of himself. Look at some of the things he says. I thank you, I'm not like other men. They are extortioners. They are unjust. They are adulterers. Or they are tax collectors. I'm not like them. He's pointing the finger at other people. And he says, well, I'm not like that. And then he says some things that he does. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes. I give a tenth of all that I possess, all that I earn. And it's all about himself. In our children's club in Carmarthen, a few years ago, we had a child come in with a T-shirt. And on the front of the T-shirt was, it's all about me. And it was. It was all about the child. And we can have that attitude about life, can't we? It's all about me. What am I going to get? I was in a church a few years ago, and there was an elderly man welcoming people at the door. And he said to me after the service, I invited one of my friends to church, he said, last week. And my friend said to me, if I come to church, what am I going to get out of it? It's self, isn't it? It's me. It's all about me. It's pride. It's the sin of pride. Sometimes I get asked the question, what's the greatest sin in the world? The worst sin in the world is pride. God hates it. He hates it when we are full of ourselves. And it sort of causes problems then with other people, but it cuts us off from God as well. Pride is a horrible thing. This man was very religious, but he was very proud of himself. Did you know that? You might be in church every week, but you might be very proud and arrogant and thinking a lot of yourself. So Jesus says there's a wrong way to pray. Notice in verse 14, Jesus says the man who prays like that, he gets humbled. He doesn't get accepted by God. There's a wrong way to pray. Verse 13, there's a right way to pray. Let's spend a little bit more time with verse 13. Here's this other man. And he's called a tax collector or a publican. And he's the one who takes the taxes from the people and gives it to the Romans. They were very hated in Jesus' day, tax collectors. But he is standing at the back of the church, you could say, and even before he opens his mouth, do you notice what the Lord says in his story? He says three things about him. He stands at a distance, and he doesn't look up. Doesn't open his mouth, not at first. He stands at a distance. He's afraid to look up to heaven where God is. That tells us something about this man, doesn't it? He's got the fear of God. He doesn't want to rush into God's presence. He realizes who God is. It's a lesson there for us, isn't it? We rush into church sometimes. We don't think what we're going to do. And God is holy. God is pure. God is clean. God is without sin. The most important thing you can think or learn about God in the Bible, well, there are many things. God is love and he's kind, but he's a holy God. He's 100% pure. And this man hesitates to come into the presence of God. I wonder, did you hesitate this morning? Did you think about who God is? He's a holy God. And this man then, it says in verse 13, he beats his chest. See, the other man is pointing the finger and saying, Lord, I'm not like those people out there. This man's not doing that. He's beating his chest. He's aware of his sin. And he's not pointing the finger at anybody else, but he says, Lord, it's in you. Here's the problem in you. Has that happened to you? You know, the problem with the world, many things are a problem in the world, but people are pointing the finger at one another, aren't they? Rich people point the finger and they say, we're glad we're not like those people down there. And poorer people say, look at those people. Look at that Boris Johnson chap. Who wants him to be prime minister? Look at the politicians. Look at the state of them. Look at the hypocrisy. And everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else. But this man's not doing that. He says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Is that how you come this morning? Are you pointing the finger at everybody else? Or in the sight of God, a holy God, do you realize that you're a sinner? We've all broken God's laws. There was a little girl in a children's club a couple of weeks ago, and she was listening to the story, like the children listened this morning, and the Ten Commandments, the teacher mentioned the Ten Commandments, and the little girl said she was about 6 or 7 years of age. And she asked the teacher, what are the Ten Commandments? So the teacher said, well, you should love God with all your heart. You should put God first. And then the little girl said, that's not too bad. I think I can do that. And then the teacher went on and said, you shall not tell lies. You should not steal. You should not have wrong thoughts about other people. You should not be jealous or covetous or be envious of other people. The little girl, because I was watching her face actually, and she turned to a friend next to her and she said, drat. The little girl understood something. She thought she was okay with some commandments, but when she was told about lying or stealing or maybe being jealous, she realized she'd failed. Bible says that even if you keep all the commands, but you just break one, you've broken them all. None of us here this morning have kept God's commands 100%. We've all failed. And this man hesitates to come to God, and he's beating his chest, and he says, Lord, the problem's not out there. The problem's in you, with me. I'm a sinner. Look at the words that he says, still in verse 13. God, he says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Actually, in our Bibles, we've got the words a sinner, but it probably should be translated the sinner, because that's what he's saying. He's speaking to God as if he's the only sinner in the world. Like the prayer that we began the service with, Psalm 51. And David, many years before Jesus is born, but 1,000 years BC, is saying, Lord, only against you, I've sinned against you, as if he was the only sinner in the world. Have you ever felt that? It's easy when you come to church and to point the finger at everybody else, criticize people. Lord, the problem's in me. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I've broken your commands. But then he says something else, doesn't he? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. So he's confessing something, but he's also asking something. And his prayer is, Lord, be merciful to me. In the synagogue, maybe you already know this, but if you don't, there was a place, and it was called the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, there's the story of the Ark of the Covenant. Know that Indiana Jones film, and they all go chasing after the Ark of the Covenant. It's a fiction story. But the Ark of the Covenant was a real box. It was a wooden box covered in gold. God told Moses to make it. In the box was contained the Ten Commandments. And it was a very special thing to the Jews. And on the top, there were two angels with their wings and their faces looking down on the box. And the top of the box was called the mercy seat. The mercy seat was the place where the priest would sprinkle the blood of an innocent victim, an animal. The blood would be shed there, sprinkled on the top, and God would say, if you believe in the sacrifice, there's the place of safety. That's where I'll save you. And in this story that Jesus tells, this man is saying, Lord, be merciful to me. Let me come to that place of safety where I can be saved from my sins. Where's the place of safety? Well, the Ark of the Covenant is gone years ago. Nobody knows where it is. But there is a place of safety for us. It's Jesus. It's a person and a place. Jesus is the person. Jesus, who is God on earth. He came into the world, and here's the wonderful thing. I can't keep the laws of God perfectly, but Jesus obeyed them all, 100%. So if you're wondering, well, what have I got to do to be saved? Have I got to keep all the commands? Well, no, you can't. I can't do it because we are sinful. And even if you keep some of them, you still break others. We can't do it. So God sent his son, and Jesus obeyed them all, 100%. And then he did something else. He took the sins that we've committed, and he took the punishment of those sins on himself. And he faced the anger of God on the cross of Calvary. The Ark of the Covenant all those years before was a kind of a picture of Jesus and his work on the cross. So Jesus' blood is the place of safety. And God says, if you believe in the sacrifice of the innocent victim, that's where I'll save you. Believe in the cross. This man is saying, God, I'm a sinner, but be merciful to me. Anybody know what Nasser is famous for? NASA? Space shuttles and astronauts and things. I don't know much about it, but I heard about these shields that they put on the shuttles. You know, when the shuttle enters the atmosphere, comes back to Earth, and the temperature apparently is about 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Complaining of the heat the last few days. But the warmest recorded temperature I think has ever been in our country is 100 degrees Fahrenheit. But when an astronaut is coming back into Earth's atmosphere, there's a danger of the shuttle breaking up because the heat of the temperature is 4,000 degrees. So on the front, on the cone part of the shuttle, they put these protective shields. And I didn't know this, but somebody told me that they are sometimes called propitiation shields, protection shields. If that shield wasn't there, the shuttle would disintegrate and the astronauts would all be killed. But there's a safety shield there. So as the astronauts come back, they are protected. Do you know God has given us a shield, a protective shield? His name is Jesus. Jesus on the cross faced the anger of God, the wrath of God. Jesus faced hell for us. And if we're in him, then we are safe. We're all heading into eternity. We're all going to face God. And God is like a consuming fire. But if we believe in Christ, he's our shield. And we won't be disintegrated. We won't be punished. We will be safe. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus has done. So there's a wrong way to pray, but there's a right way. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian yet, maybe you're interested and maybe you're not interested. But you can pray this prayer. Take the words of this prayer and say, Lord, I'm not good enough, I'm sinful. But be merciful to me. Let me be in Jesus. Let Jesus be my shield. I believe in his blood that was shed on the cross. So there's a wrong way to pray, there's a right way. Verse 14, it's the only way, isn't it? See what Jesus says at the end of the story? Jesus then sums it up and he says, I tell you, this man, the man who prayed like that, God be merciful to me, a sinner, this man went down to his house justified. Justified means accepted with God, right with God, peace with God. This man went home afterwards and he was right with God. He knew that his sins had been forgiven and he was accepted. But then Jesus says, not the other man. The man who was taking a selfie, full of himself. He may have been religious for the rest of his life, doesn't make any difference. He's not saved, not on his way to heaven. And here's the warning, the last part of verse 14. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. If you are full of yourself, God is going to bring you down. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you take the low place and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, then God will save you and he'll pick you up and he'll exalt you and one day he'll take you to heaven to be with him. So it's the only way. Jesus is the only way. We just sang that, didn't we? Jesus is the only way to be saved. There's no other way. Jesus, God and man, and the sacrifice for sin. So here's my questions as I finish. A question to us first as Christians, perhaps. Sometimes we forget to pray like this, don't we? God, be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. Look at him out there. Look at that person over there. Look at those politicians. Lord, the problem's in you. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. Sometimes Christians forget to pray like that. There was a minister a few years ago and he was retired, and so he had time to go around churches listening. And he said afterwards that he was a bit concerned because in the prayers on a Sunday, he hardly ever heard any prayers for forgiveness by the minister or the people praying. Something wrong there, isn't there? As Christians, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Is there anyone here this morning and you're not yet a Christian? What do I do? What words can I say? You might be asking. Well, take these words and go to God and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Save me today. And lift me up, Lord, from my sin. Take me one day to be with you in heaven. Jesus is our safety shield. It's wonderful to be behind him, isn't it? Jesus is our protection. Doesn't mean that we won't have any problems in life. There are difficulties. But the Lord is always with us. And he'll be with us to the end. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying with one of my members. She was dying. She had dementia. And she was dying on her deathbed at home. She always used to say in the prayer meeting, one day I'm going to be bright and shiny in glory. That's the hope, isn't it? One day we'll be with the Lord in glory. Well, may the Lord help us to pray, not in the wrong way, but in the right way. Let's pray together before we sing our last hymn. Thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you sent your Son to save us. Lord, help us today not to be proud and arrogant and full of ourselves. Forgive us when we are like that, when we point the finger at others, when we forget that we ourselves are sinful. Lord, we ask then that you will save us and forgive us our sins. Thank you that Jesus came to obey the law and died on the cross, giving his own life as a sacrifice for sin. And Lord, we want to put ourselves behind him today, that he might be our shield, protecting us from the anger of God. So Lord, save us, save people in Town Hill, we pray, and bless us now as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.